Gospels this morning, open up to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. We have finished our series in the Gospel of John a few weeks ago. And then for a little while, we're going to look at the different, difference makers. And you say that about 10 times really fast. Different difference makers. You say, where does that come from? Where a theme for this year is, talks about here, if you look up here, it says, making a difference. Even our theme song is called to make a difference. And you look at different individuals in the Bible who made a difference, and look at the different characteristics that helped them make this difference. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for all the people who had a good influence in my life, all the people who had made a good difference in my life. I don't know about you, if you take just a minute or two, you think in your heart and mind, who is somebody who really made a difference? Who is an individual that maybe helped mold you and make you in your Christian walk? Maybe it was a good friend, maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was your pastor, maybe it was a husband or a wife, maybe it was a mother or a father. All you think about it, who made a great impact and who made a great difference in your life? And what was some of the characteristics that caused them to make that difference? And this morning we're going to look at, first of all, this, I think, one of the great difference makers in the Bible, which is the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see this morning the reason why I believe Paul was a great difference maker was because he just never quit. You know, sometimes you see people that will fall by the wayside. Sometimes you see people that will give up. Sometimes people say, oh, because of my circumstance or because of how old I got or because of the other temptations or the tests that I've been through. Hey, I'm over. I'm done with it. But the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 24, he said, but none of these things move me. He says there was nothing that was going to move him from the work that God had called him to do. And I know that there's a lot of characteristics you could learn from the Apostle Paul's life, and there's a lot of things that we could glean from him, but I think one of the most important things we can learn and one of the best ways we can make a difference is by being steadfast, by being unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And this morning as we look at this, I'd like you to think maybe some good thoughts about different people in your lives who made a difference. There was a man who made a difference in my life at a time in my life when times were tough and times were hard for me spiritually, and because of some immaturity that he stepped in and he helped me. His name was Louis Lee. I told the Sunday school class a little bit about the story that he had. I taught junior church at the age of, I think right at when I got out of sixth grade, seventh grade, that 12-year-old age period, I began to become a junior church helper. And I enjoyed being a junior church helper. And by the time I was 15, and that was a first through third grade junior church, by the time I was 15, the teacher had, who was the assistant pastor, had left and went to another church, and they let me begin teaching it. That was a mistake, probably. But at 15, they let me teach the class. Can you believe that? Now, this is a big church. I guess I don't think they had anybody else volunteering. And as long as there was no problems, as long as nobody was complaining, the Lord was preparing me and used me to do that. And I was excited about that. And for the next 4 or 5 years, with different other people's help, I taught the junior church. I was responsible for it. And about the age of 19, there was someone who came to the church, a very much more qualified couple. One was a skilled teacher and was even a teacher in elementary school. And the husband, the church that they had came from, they used to do the junior church ministry. So 4 or 5 years after doing it for the last 4 or 5 years, never really getting any type of curriculum, never really getting any help from anybody, they came and said, hey, we got some help for junior church. And I went into the assistant pastor's office, sat down, talked, and I thought we were going to talk about it. And they told me that this couple was going to be the one that was in charge because of the fact they had much more experience and much more knowledge. But hey, I had done it for the last 4 or 5 years, and you know what? I wasn't great at it, but I was doing the best I could, and I became pretty immature about it and thought, well, if I can't be the one in charge, I don't want to do it anymore. I wasn't thinking the best for the kids. I was thinking the best for myself, and I liked the idea of the fact that I was the one in charge and got to teach the junior church class, and the kids had to do what I said, and we had developed the program. Well, they came in, and they wanted to switch everything around. They wanted to do things. And looking back on it now, you know what? They did things a lot better than I ever could, and they did things a lot more productively, and they taught the kids probably a lot better than I could, and it was the best thing in the world to happen to me was to be taken out of the position. Sometimes when things happen like that, we can never really see or understand why God allows things to happen. But I became a little bitter, and I said, well, I haven't sat in a morning service for 7 or 8 years. I'm going to go ahead and go up and do something I haven't done for a long time. I go to, we called it big church. You know, we sat with the adults out front. And I went out there and sat out there maybe for a week or two. And there was a guy who taught 4th through 6th grade junior church, and his name was Louis Lee. And that fourth or sixth grade teacher who taught me, shows you how long he had done it, had taught me in that class. He came up to me and says, I really could use some help in my junior church. Would you consider being my assistant back in junior church? You mean, junior church has an assistant? Well, their junior churches were a little bit bigger. They probably had 30, 40, maybe 50 kids, and they had probably four or five different helpers in there. And he said, would you come and help me with that? And you know what he was doing? He was trying to make a difference in my life. He didn't really need any help, but he saw the potential that God had placed in my heart and the desire that God had given me. And during those years when I was a young teenager, I had answered God's call to preach, and I wasn't in Bible college. I wasn't doing anything with what God's call to preach in my life was. And he came alongside me. You know what? He helped make a difference. He let me preach every other week. And you know what he did? He went alongside and he helped me to learn how to form outlines and how to do introductions and how to do conclusions. And he encouraged me. When I did a great job preaching, he would encourage me and brag about me and lift me up. When I did a bad job preaching, he would encourage me too and tell me better luck next time. He would do things that come alongside me to help me. He made a difference in my life. He came alongside and he was an invested interest in my life too. And I look back on my life and there's a lot of people who were big difference makers in my life, but I know in that moment in time, I needed somebody. And the Lord spoke to that man's heart and that man stepped in and made a difference in that life. He didn't do anything really out of the ordinary. He was there for me. He even showed me some kindness where I really didn't deserve any kindness. He showed me a little bit of grace and he said, here, I need your help. Now, was he a more talented preacher than me? Oh, yes, he was a much more talented preacher than I was. But he took the time to make a difference. And when we're looking at this idea about making a difference, I come to this thought and understanding is, am I really making a difference in the world that's around me? And I want us to think about that in ourselves. First, think about somebody who made a difference in your life and how you're thankful for it. Secondly, what was the characteristic that made them or helped them make a difference? One of the things that helped this man make a difference in my life was when I was in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, he taught me. You know what that means? Is that 10 years later, he was still there doing the same job. And he was still there teaching the same class. And he came alongside and was able to help me because he was devoted in his cause. Now, later on, things happened, and later on, he went on to a different ministry, and other things happened, and he didn't stay. He's not still teaching that class today, obviously, but he helped make a difference because he stuck with it. And I want to think about the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter number 20, and I think one of the greatest reasons why the Apostle Paul made a difference was because he was resolved to do the work God had given him to do. We're going to start off here in verse number 17, but our main focus of the verse is going to be 22 through 24. Here in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And I want to set the scene here a little bit. Paul is headed towards Jerusalem. Paul knows as he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem that he's going to be bound, and it might actually cost his life. And as he's heading back to Jerusalem, he wants to stop and see some of the churches that he began. And when he calls these elders or these pastors, you know what he's doing? He's calling the people that he helped win to the Lord. He's calling the people that he helped disciple. And he's calling the people that he helped begin their churches. And as they grew in the Lord, he placed these men in these churches. Paul was their spiritual father in a sense. He helped them begin. And here in verse number 18, it begins to give a testimony. And Paul's not just talking to anybody. He's talking to men who saw him day and night, time after time, day after day, week after week, month after month. And I want you to listen to his testimony here. Verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in, at all seasons. And here it is. He's saying, look, from the first day I came, he says in verse number 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews. He says, you've known me all this time. And he says, you know that I served the Lord with humility and with tears. Verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's his testimony. This is just a portion of it. But he's saying to these men that watched him day and night, that was he was a spiritual father too. He says, you know me. You know all about me. You've seen, you've lived with me. You've done this. You've seen every part of me. And I want you to understand something. I'm getting ready to go up to Jerusalem. And as I go up to Jerusalem, I am bound in the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit of God has told me to go, and I know that afflictions wait me. I know that imprisonment waits me, and I know that death may wait me also. But he's kind of ready to give them further in a testimony he has in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost, witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he's saying, look, I don't know what's going to happen to me in Jerusalem. He says, I know that bonds and afflictions are waiting for me there. He says that the Holy Ghost has revealed that unto him. But here in verse number 24, which is one of my life verses, he says, but none of these things move me. He says, I know that bonds are ahead of me. He's talking about being imprisoned. He says, I know afflictions are coming. He says, but none of these things move me. He continues on. It says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want you to think about that verse once again, and let's read it once again. But none of these things move me. And then he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He's saying, hey, I don't really care what happens to me in my life. He says, my life is not precious to me. You know what's precious to me? And he says it here, what's precious to him. He says, so that I might finish my course with joy. He says, this is what's precious for me. God has given me a course. God has given me a race. He says, and I want to finish that course. I want to finish that race. He doesn't want to just collapse at the finish line. He wants to finish it with joy. He wants to live and run this race in a way where people can rejoice and celebrate, and he can celebrate at the end of his life. And he continues on and says, not only was that important to him, and it says, and the ministry. You know what else was important to him? Not all this course, but the ministry that God had given him. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Not of these elders, not of these preachers, not of these pastors, he's not mom called, he's not daddy sent. He's saying this ministry that the Lord Jesus had given to him. And what is that ministry? Look at what it says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, what a wonderful verse. Why was Paul a difference maker? Why was Paul credited for writing many books of the Bible? Why was Paul probably what most people would consider one of the greatest Christians to ever live? It's because he didn't let things move him. Why could Paul make a difference? Why could Paul go to these churches, these elders in Ephesus and say, hey, look, you knew me night and day. You saw everything that happened to me. You saw how the Jews lied in wait of me. But you saw that I served day and night. I served with tears. I served with humility. He says, you know all these different things. And yes, I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He's talking to maybe young Christians here. He says, yes, in Jerusalem, you're going to hear people say things about me. You're going to hear that I've been put in jail. You're going to hear that I might be put to death. You're going to hear that people maybe even start talking bad things about me. But I want you to remember this, that none of that stuff matters to me. None of these things move me. He says, the only thing that matters to me is the course that God's given me and the ministry that God's given me. And this morning, I think one of the reasons why Paul was a difference maker was because of his steadfastness. Think about what the Bible says, that therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give me the words to say, and Lord, you just give the instruction that you want to these people. Lord, help us, help the words just come the way that you want them to, Lord, and Lord, just help them apply them to the people's lives the way you would. Lord, I know you've applied it to my heart, and Lord, you've encouraged me to not let things bother me, not let things move me, but Lord, if the Spirit of God's spoken to my heart, the Spirit of God's given me a ministry, Lord, to accomplish it, to do that task. Lord, speak to people's hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see is, what moved Paul? What moved Paul? And now he says in verse 24, none of these things move me. He says, look, I know afflictions. I know hardships. I know physical problems are going to head in my way. And he says, none of these things move me. So what did move Paul? You see it here, and where you see it here in verse number 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. You know what he's saying? He says, the Spirit of God is what moves me. The Spirit of God is what pushes me. The Spirit of God is the thing that I count on, I depend on, and this is the way I go, is the way God moves me. He says, I go bound in the Spirit. Have you ever been bound in the Spirit to do something? And what does that mean? It means that you have no other choice. It's talking about that Paul had no choice in his assignments. They were made to him by God. And that's why it says in verse number 24, that was his holy aspirations, that he may win Christ, that this course that God's given him, that he could continue on in this course, and that he could do it with joy. And not only could he do it with joy, that he might finish it, and not only that he might finish it, but it's a ministry that God himself has given him, just to testify of the grace and the gospel of God. I want you to think about this. Put yourself in his shoes. You know, he's talking to these young Christians that he's won to the Lord. He's saying, look, I want you to serve him. Serve him with all your heart. 2 Timothy, he's facing death. And he doesn't tell Timothy to stop preaching. He doesn't say to Timothy, hey, just give it up. It's going to cost me my life. What does he say? He says, preach the word. He says, keep on doing the ministry. Keep on going about it. It's worth it. And that's what here it says, what moved Paul? He was bound in the Spirit. Micah 6:8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know what? The great thing is that God has showed us what to do. He has showed us the good things. Oh man, what is good? That's what he showed you to do. And Christian, I can almost guarantee, if you have half a heart to listen to what God has to say, you know what? He has showed you what is good for you to do in your life, in your heart too. Now, we might have rejected it. We might have walked away. But I can almost guarantee to you that if at all you're listening to God, God has been speaking to your heart about the good things he wants you to do, what he wants you to do. He has bound you in spirit to go out and do things for God. There is something that God wants you to do. You say, how do you know that? It's because it says it in his word. He's clear. He has showed us the good things to do. And so what moved Paul? It was the Holy Spirit of God. Second thing, I want you to see, what didn't move Paul? What didn't move him? Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, there's a passage of Scripture that if we read and we think of and consider, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, it probably would make us a little squeamish to think that one person went through all these things for Jesus Christ. It makes me think, boy, how much does it take to stop me? But here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we see that trials did not stop Paul. Trials did not stop Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, in verse number 23, the word of God said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he... Oh, that's the wrong passage of Scripture. Oh, wow. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and see. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I know that passage of Scripture is familiar because that's the Lord's Supper passage. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23. You know, computers, they type in exactly what you put down. No matter whether or not you're thinking the right thing, they put down exactly what you type down. And I type down 1 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Word of God says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm a more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know what he's saying there? He says, I've been beaten by the Jews 5 different times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwrecked. A night and a day I have in the deep, and journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. When Paul said, none of these things move me, he said, hey, look, the trials of life did not stop me. One man said the character of a man is what it takes to stop them. And when Paul was saying in Acts chapter 20 to verse 24 to these young preacher boys, he says, look, You got hardships that might be facing you. You got things that are going to be facing you that you could never ever imagine. But if you really truly want to be a difference maker to your congregation and to your people and to your family, he says, don't let those things move you. Not only was it trials did not stop him, testings did not stop him either. Look in 2 Corinthians, and it is 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, just probably a few verses down, verse number 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7, we see that Paul did not get all of his prayers answered. We see that there was something that was sent to his life to test him, to help him understand, to help him along the way. In verse number 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. The apostle Paul said testings was not going to stop him. And if you go take your Bible and go back to Acts chapter number 20, you see here in that passage of Scripture, the Lord had sent him a thorn in the flesh. So that way, he would not become exalted above measure. That way, he wouldn't think too highly of himself. And he said, despite trials are going to come, that did not move me. Despite testings were going to come, that was not going to move me. If you look here in Acts chapter number 20, it talks about how others did not move him either. Others did not stop Paul. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? Well, you see here in the passage of Scripture, and let's actually take it to go to Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, it says, and when we heard, in verse number 12, and when we heard these things, both we and they of what place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. What happened is this prophet came down. I think his name was Agabus. He comes down and he tells Paul, look, you're going to be bound in Jerusalem. And Paul says, and all Paul's friends hear this, all Paul's loved ones hear this, and they say, hey, don't go, don't go, don't go. In verse number 13, Paul doesn't let their beseeching of him stop him. He says, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. What he's saying here is that nothing was going to move Paul from doing what God had bound in his heart and bound in his spirit to do. He says, even though there were friends of mine, ministers in the Lord, you notice the passage here, it says we. That's Luke, the gospel writer Luke, that's saying, we, there's a group, was saying, hey, Paul, don't go, don't go. And Paul says, why are you crying for me? Don't weep for me. Not only am I ready to be bounded for Christ, not only am I willing to be thrown in jail for Christ, I'm willing and ready to die for Christ. He says, these things are not going to stop me. These things are not going to move me. He would not let others stop him. He didn't let others, when they stopped serving, stop him either. What do you mean? Well, you think about it. When you've been in the ministry as long as Paul, there are some people that just didn't keep it up. You think about Demas, where it says, for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas left him. There was other men and other women who was in the ministry helping Paul, and they said goodbye. They said, no, it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it anymore. But Paul says, look, that's not going to stop me. That is not going to stop me. I'm not going to let anybody else be used as an example of the fact that the reason why I stopped. And Christian, today, I want you to think about it. Do the trials of life stop you from serving God? I'm talking about being bound in the Spirit by God to do something. I'm talking about when God speaks to your heart about maybe giving up something or doing something more. When God has spoken to your heart and you know there's something you need to do, maybe it is to go visit somebody you haven't seen, maybe to start to read your Bible, maybe start to pray, maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class, maybe it's being the right husband, the right wife, whatever it is, if you're bound in your spirit, you know God wants you to work on it, what is it that's stopping you? You know, is it trials that have stopped you? You know, Apostle Paul said, that doesn't move me. Was it testings that happened in your life? He says, Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. Or maybe it's others. Maybe we've gotten to the excuse where he said, you know what, so-and-so stopped serving, I'm going to stop too. Thank goodness the Apostle Paul didn't stop. Amen. You continue on and look in verse number 24 in chapter 20 again. You see the most important thing that didn't stop him, that stopped so many of us, is found in verse number 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. You know, the person who stops us more than anybody else is us. Sometimes we can be our greatest hindrance. Sometimes we can be our greatest hindrance. We may not feel like we have accomplished enough. We may not feel worthy enough. We may be discouraged by the fact that others have done more than us. Or perhaps the problem lies in us that is a completely different direction. We may face the same temptation that Paul had. We could rely on our own strength. We rely on our own wisdom. You think about it, Paul's background, Paul's credentials. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a touching the law, a Pharisee's concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What he's saying here is, the Apostle Paul says, I'm not going to let anything stop me from what God has called me to do. I'm not going to even let myself stop me. How do we do that? It's by not letting trials stop us from what God's called us to do. By not letting testing stop us from what God's calling us to do. Not letting, whether it be Christians that are serving God, or those that have forsaken God, or maybe those that are not even saved, stop us. Paul says, I'm not going to let me stop me either. No, Christians, one of the most important things we need to understand is that we are sometimes our greatest hindrance. And often reasons why we quit is because we wanted something out of it in the first place. You know, Paul is not in it for himself. Paul's not in it to win it. Paul's in it to win Christ. Paul, his whole purpose and his whole desire was what? That he could finish his course of joy. And it's the ministry that he received of God. So often we see people giving up. So often we see people stopping. And Paul said, the reason why he was a great difference maker is because he continued on. Now, I don't want you to think something. When I left Baptist Bible Church, when I became ordained, I had to stop teaching my adult Sunday school class. I had to stop teaching that junior church class that I was telling you about. After that man had moved on to his next church, and I was there for years still teaching that until I came here. So I stopped one thing to start another thing because God put something in my heart. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty in the idea that God's put something in your heart to do and maybe there is a change and you want to do a different ministry. That's not it at all. If God's put something in your heart, don't let anything stop you. And I'd be honest with you, if we went around this room and asked people, we could probably pinpoint at least one thing that God has told us he wants us to do that we're struggling with. And the question is, what's causing us to stop? Apostle Paul said trials weren't going to stop him. Testings weren't going to stop him. My closest friends weren't going to stop me. And my worst enemies, they weren't going to stop me. And I wasn't even going to let myself stop me. Because I look at my life and I don't count it as something that's important or valuable. I count what God's given me to do more valuable. I don't count my life as dear to myself. So if you want to be a person that continues on, look at what it's saying here. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. This Bible talks about if we're willing to lose our life. That's what he's talking about here. We'll want to give it all over to God. We'll gain it back. Gain it back to even a greater extent. Last thing but not least, what was Paul's motivation? And we've mentioned this a little bit, but what was Paul's motivation? Here in these verses, you see what Paul's motivation was. And I pray that God may be working your heart and your mind about what God has given you to do. And God establish some things in your heart and mind again that we would not let things move us off of what God's bound in our spirit and our heart to do. So that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received, the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Here's the things, two things that motivate him. First, his course. He wanted to finish it. You know, I love the story of the Apostle Paul because at the end of his life, he doesn't say, well, yeah, I struggled towards the end. I just gave up. I got older. I let somebody else do it. Now, he's sitting in a prison cell knowing that in a few days he's going to be giving his life. And what does he write? He says, I write, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. You know, here, he's not there yet. Here in Acts, he's not there yet. But in 2 Timothy, he's over at the end. You know what he's saying? He says, I finished my course. I saw what God gave me to do. And guess what? I finished it. And he says, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Amen. You know, he was not content to just finish the race and just fall over. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to finish his race of joy. Amen. He wanted to finish his race and be able to pin those words to the second Timothy and make a difference in Timothy's life. And when Timothy looked at Paul's example, hey, Paul kept on doing it all the way to the end. Hey, Paul kept on doing it while in jail. He wanted to tell those in Philippi, rejoice. Always. He wanted to be able to tell them that. He wanted to be able to say, hey, I've done my course, I've done my work, and I can tell you the greatest thing in the world to do is serve God. In jail, he could say, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And that's what he's saying here. If you want to finish your course of joy, get off letting people and letting things get in your way and stop you from doing the things God's called you to do. He says, my motivation is to be able to finish my course because that's the only thing that's going to really truly bring joy. That's the only thing that's really going to bring happiness in my life is when I am focused and running that course. I want to finish it. And he says, I want to finish it with joy. Christian, are you really interested in finishing? I know it seems like in the Laodicean church age that we're in today, none of us feel like we've got anything we need to work on. None of us got anything. And if we do know we have something that we work on, we put it back to the back burner and say, hey, I can do that later. Hey, I got some other more important things to worry about and deal with now. But Paul is saying here, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm not going to let anything move me. I want to be able to finish my course, the job that God's given me. And I want to be able to do it with joy. I want to be excited about it. You know what? Christians should be the happiest people in life. You know what? Sometimes we just want to, I want to walk up to certain Christians and say, hey, look, Christians are supposed to be joyful. You're supposed to be smiling. You're supposed to be a joyful life to live. Can you please tell your face? I mean, come on. You know, some people look so sad and look so grumpy and look so upset. It's like somebody kicked your dog. Somebody flattened your tires. You come into church and think that, you know, hey, I'm here again. That's not what Paul's talking about here. What does Paul say? He says he wants to finish his course with joy. How do you do that? Is because you don't let things move you. You don't let things, you know, one of the worst parts of being a Christian is when you're away from God and you know you're supposed to be doing what's right and you choose just not to do it, the Holy Spirit of God just tears you up. He makes you feel miserable. And you know that, hey, what I'm supposed to be doing, and you just won't do it. You know, Christian, finish your course with joy. How could Paul say none of these things move me? How could Paul not let trials and not let testing and not Paul not let himself or other people stop him from doing what God's called him to do? It's because his focus was finishing and doing it with joy. Next thing I want you to see, not only was his joy one of his motivations, his ministry. His ministry. Here it says in verse number 24, it says, and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That he was excited about his ministry. Can I give you a little hint? Paul realized the opportunity to minister was a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Some people say, hey, a ministry is a burden. Some people say a ministry is a hassle. Some people say ministry so many times is just too hard to do. I don't want to get involved. Let somebody else do it. A ministry is a blessing. A blessing from God. It's a present from God. It's a gift from God. And you should look at what ministry God's given you and say, thank God for the ministry God's given me. Paul did that. Paul in 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful putting me into the ministry. He says, look, I thank God for the fact that he looked at me, he saw me, he counted me faithful, he enabled me and made me capable to be put into a ministry. You know what? There are many Christians today. It's too much of a burden. We have people that just want to throw their kids away. You know, your family is a ministry. If you got a son or daughter in your house, you're a husband or a father or a mother or a wife, you know, that is a ministry there that you have. And we should thank God for those children, not try to get rid of them, not try to push them off to somebody else. We should thank them. But there's, you know, all types of ministries we have. We should say, thank you, God, for the opportunity you've given me. Not be bitter at your husband or your wife because they don't act the way you think they should. That's a ministry that God's given to you, to minister unto them. And not to come complain about the preacher or complain about the church. But if God's called you to be here, find what your job is to do and do it. Do it with all your heart. Once again, be thankful for it. Paul said, two reasons why I don't let these things move me, because of the importance of my course and the importance of my ministry. Paul even went as far as saying in 1 Corinthians, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What he said is that this ministry was so important to him, he had taken his body and put it under subjection, which means that he would not allow anything in his body be hurt because he didn't want to fall, he didn't want to sin, he didn't want to do wrong because he didn't want to be counted as a castaway. He wanted his ministry to be effective. He wanted to do something. He kept his life clean, kept it holy. Why? Because of his ministry. Our ministry is something that is a blessing. It's a gift from God, and we should not look upon it lightly. The Apostle Paul here says, none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear to myself. Christian, what is it that has moved you? Is it a person? Is it a thing? I want to encourage you that last part of this verse, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, is something that we should testify with our lives. We should, if we are saved and on our way to heaven, we have something to testify about. We have something to share. We have something to give to others. We have a testimony that we can go around and testifying of the gospel, first of all. The gospel, the fact that Jesus died on the cross and then he was buried and then he rose again for our sins. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, the Apostle Paul gave his life after he got saved so others could hear this wonderful message. You can be saved and go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. Put your faith and trust in him. Recognize that you're a sinner and call out to God. Repent of your sins and say, Lord, save me from my sins. And you can do that here today. But Christian, what greater ministry do we have than to demonstrate, testify with our lives? The gospel. But you see the next part, the gospel of the grace of God. You know, grace is God's unmerited favor in our lives. And I tell you, all of us around here have grace on our hearts and lives. We're here by another day by the mercy and grace of God. The ministries we have is by the mercy and grace of God. Faith Baptist Church is here by the mercy and grace of God. And this is what we need to testify of. The unmerited favor. You say, Pastor, you don't know how hard things are. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been shipwrecked. Paul had all. He said, but I had this physical problem. Paul had that thorn in the flesh. You know, all these things. None of those things moved him because he wanted to finish that course. He didn't want to finish it just like anybody else and be drudging and come in second or third or 10th or 12th and just say, man, I did it. No, he wanted to be excited about it. He wanted to finish it with joy. But he said, I get the chance to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, man, God treats me good. But Paul, you're in jail. Don't matter. God's good to me. Amen. It doesn't matter what's going on. God's grace is on my life. I've been saved by grace. And Christians, what's stopping you? Is there something in your life that God's bound in your heart? And you say, well, Pastor, there's nothing then. And then there's something probably in our hearts that we need to get right so God's speaking to us. Because I know the closer I get to God, the more God wants from me, the more I know I need to change, the more I understand that, hey, there's things I can work on. He binds more. If I accomplish one thing for him, he gives me more to do. It's not less. There's something in our hearts. If he hasn't bound something in our heart and bound something in our spirit, then we need to check our salvation and then check our walk with God and make sure that we're doing what's right. And because, you know, Paul doesn't say, hey, let's finish the course when you hit 50 and let somebody else younger do it, or 60 and let somebody else take care of it. He says, I want to finish my course with joy. He wants to end it till the end. He's in it for Jesus Christ. Let me finish with this. Now, Apostle Paul did not write this, but I thought this declaration describes the life of Paul and what we want our lives to be. And we'll conclude with this. I want you to think about this. This is a wonderful, powerful little, I don't know if it's called a poem or a creed or a decoration. He says, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, and mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by His power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is having my road is narrow, and my way may be rough. Companions may be few. My guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. And I will not let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me because my banner is clear. You know, think about it. You know, that's a passionate person that believes and says something about that about himself. You know, I'm not saying that that's where we all are. I'm not even saying that's where I'm at. But you read something like that and people say, well, that's just ridiculous. No, that's someone who loves God. That's someone who says, I'm not going to let something move me. I'm not going to let these things take me out of what God's called me to do. He's given me a course, and I'm going to run it, and I'm going to do it having a good time because I'm going to finish with joy. And not only am I going to finish with joy, I'm going to do the ministry that God's given me because my ministry is a blessing. I'm going to do the best of my ability. This morning, if you're here and you've never been saved, Apostle Paul gave his life so others would know. He was a difference maker in these people of Ephesus' life. These pastors came, they knew him, they saw him, and he made a difference in their lives. He discipled them and trained them. And they were pastors that day. Who made the difference in your life? What characteristic was it that made a difference? Apostle Paul here could tell these men, hey, look at me. Look what I've done. Not in a prideful way. Because remember, he didn't count his own life dear to himself. He said, look at me. Look at I've steadfast. I've stayed by this stuff. You need to do the same things. Don't let these things move you. What in your life or who in your life is causing you to be moved from what God's put in your heart to do? Let's go ahead and pray.